Would you please pray with me? O Holy God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray that in this time you would help us to know your word, know your truth, and in that to love you more and more and to give ourselves to you more and more. So would your Holy Spirit stir in us a deeper desire for you? We make our prayer in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, I need to begin just with a confession to you all that I find the Trinity Sunday sermon really hard every single year. This is, you're coming into the ineffable mysteries of who God is and how do we communicate that to. And our kids are with us this morning too, so a double challenge for me. I was thinking about why I struggle with this and read something that was pointed out to me, that this is the only feast, major feast of the church year that's not based on an event in salvation history, but it's based on a doctrine. And more than a doctrine, it's based on the essential nature of who God is as the Trinity. So the fact that you don't really have a direct text to go to for an event, and the fact that it's beyond our comprehension always makes it hard for me. So I wanted to bring in some help. I need to introduce you my hamster, Athanasius. The story behind him is that we got a real hamster for Christmas this year in our family. Her name's Marcy. She's delightful. But we had some family travel after Christmas, so we didn't want to get a live animal before we were home and settled. So on Christmas morning, we had our boys unwrap and open up this hamster, whom I got to name. And so his name is Athanasius. Named after one of the great saints of church history, St. Athanasius, whose creed we are going to recite together later. Athanasius lived in the 4th century and fought for his whole life for the full divinity of Jesus and for the orthodoxy of the Christian faith. And the full divinity of Jesus, which is the foundation for the doctrine of the Trinity, our understanding of the Trinity. Because if Jesus is fully God and the Holy Spirit is fully God, the Father is fully God, how do we work this all together? So St. Athanasius was crucial for that. And today, my hamster, Athanasius, wants to help us in understanding this and coming into this mystery. But so Athanasius, the hamster, wants to remind us that while the doctrine of God is super important for us, it's really important for us to understand how God has revealed himself to us. Our Christianity is not actually about getting every single point of doctrine exactly right. Our Christianity is not about living a life in a particular way, living in a way that's exactly right. Our faith is not about having our lives all put together. But our faith is about knowing God. Knowing God as he has given himself to be known. And that's the key part of our faith that we need to remember. God has given himself to be known. He has revealed himself to us. And that's why we cannot just make up stuff about God and who he is and how we would like him to be. We're not given the freedom to do that because he has shown himself to us. So God is not just some vague force of benevolence somewhere out there. He's not just this inoffensive and kind, benevolent, bearded man in the sky. God has shown himself throughout his word to be Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three persons. Personal God. And you may know that the word Trinity is not found in the Bible. But once we know about it, the idea of God as a Trinity is found on every page of the Bible. So it's really important for us to know God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit because this is who he has shown us that he is and how he gives himself to us. One God in three persons. And it's okay if we don't understand the math of that equation. We cannot understand and comprehend the mystery of the Trinity. But here's what the blessing of our faith is. We can know the Trinity. Maybe we can't understand the Trinity, but we can know the Trinity. You and I can have communion with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, a relationship with the triune God, because that's how he's given himself to us. And two points I want to draw out of our passages today. We can know the Trinity because we are made in his image and we are baptized into his name. We can know the Trinity because we are made in his image and baptized into his name. So briefly, let's look at Genesis 1 together. That God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit has brought all of creation into being. If you look closely, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are all there in the first three verses of Genesis 1. But further down, we read that God, the Trinity, has made us in his image and likeness. He has made us for himself. Genesis 1 verse 26 says, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." Now, some people will say that first person plural, the first person plural pronouns in there, us and our and we, that's the majestic plural or the royal we. Like imagine a haughty and proud king or queen saying, "We are not amused." That kind of royal we. And, you know, that's possible. I think he can grant that that's a possible interpretation. But the church fathers and the long tradition of Christian interpretation has argued that this sentence, "Let us make man in our image," the plural of that is communicating an expression of the Holy Trinity. That the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are conspiring together to make us in their image and likeness. So we humans bear that image. We are reflective of the glorious image of the Holy Trinity. This is part of our design, part of who we are in our nature. And God is a relational being in and of himself, a community of three existing from all eternity. And so we too, who are made in his image, are made for relationships. We're made for community. We're made by love for love. So when we look and think about the incredible complexity and wonder and the love of humanity, even though we are sinful and flawed, our nature, who we are, made in the image of God, we are capable of joy, of wonder, of beauty, of self-giving love. It's because of this triune image that we are made of in. The one in three who made us for himself. And we call God love, that God is love, 1 John says. But a God who is not a Trinity cannot be a God of love. A God who is alone in himself cannot be called love, because love needs a subject and an object, a lover and a beloved. So God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is love, because love is the unity that binds together this Trinity. And we are made in his image, made by love and for love. He made us for himself, to belong to him, to be in communion with him, brought into the life of the Trinity. So we can know this God because we are made in his image. Secondly, as we are redeemed by Christ in his blood, we are baptized into the name of the triune God, as Jesus says at the end of Matthew's gospel, which we read. Baptized into the singular name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You have captured right there the essence of one name, one God, one essence, but three persons. So this baptized life that you and I all live, if you're baptized, you're baptized into that name. You live your life in that name, in relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. a life subordinated to and consumed by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we are invited into this union of love that exists within the Trinity. The same love that the Father has for the Son, and the Son for the Spirit for both, it's given to you and me. And we're invited into this life of love, this community of perfect love and mutual joy. So we are baptized into the name, the life of God. And the Christian life is a Trinitarian life of love. So this is how we know God as He has given Himself to be known. In the triune God, we live and move and have our being. We are made by love, redeemed by love, and now we walk in the love of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He made us, He saved us, so that He might have a relationship with us. So for us to enter into that, we need to know who this God is that we live with. So I want to encourage us to reflect on these things and to know God as He's given Himself to be known. And as a way of growing in our awareness of the Holy Trinity and our life of knowing and loving Him, I want to just recommend to us a practice, a spiritual discipline to engage this, to engage the triune God in our daily lives more regularly. This comes from the theologian Helmut Thielicke, whom I read, but this is also coming out of my own spiritual practice as well. I want to encourage you to think about in the in-between moments of your days, you know, when you've parked the car and you've got a minute so you need to get out, the phone is put away on silent, you're sitting in the waiting room for longer than you'd like to be, or when you've just got those in-between moments in between tasks and appointments. I want to encourage you to do this. Try quieting your mind, taking a deep breath, and saying this prayer. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. It's a familiar prayer to many of us. If you know your Book of Common Prayer that's in the daily office at the end of Psalms and the other parts of the liturgy, this doxology that is common throughout our prayers. So to pray this in the in-between moments. If you want to, you can cross yourselves as you pray this. That's just a physical prayer. The movement of your body is reinforcing and encouraging the words of your mouth to be joined to the thoughts of your heart. But to take a minute just with this prayer throughout your day. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. To go through it slowly, to take some time, if you've got it, to ponder these words and meditate on them. You know, because when we say glory be to the Father, you're seeking to give God glory, to worship and honor Him as the Almighty One. Glory be. He is worthy of glory. He's worthy of our praise. Glory be to the Father, the One who made me, who delights in me and invites me into His everlasting arms. The Father who runs after me to find me and bring me home. Who disciplines me for my good, for my growth, because His heart is nothing but love and compassion for me. Glory be to the Son, Jesus Christ, who loves me and gave His life for me on the cross, who took my sin upon His own flesh, the judgment and just penalty of my transgressions. He lived the life I should have lived and died the death I should have died. He was raised back to life again so that I might have the way to eternal life and reconciliation with the Father. And He, the Son, now intercedes for me at the right hand of God and reigns as Lord of my life, and I submit myself to Him as I wait for Him to come again. Glory be to the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who breathes the life of God into me, who dwells in me as a helper, an advocate, a counselor, leading me into all truth, who abides in me as the very love of God poured into my heart, who's working to sanctify me and make me holy, making the sacrifice of Christ real and efficient in my life. The Spirit who pours out gifts to empower me to bear witness to Jesus. Glory be. And as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end, we're invited into this communion, this relationship of love that's eternal, an unending reality that endures through every situation and circumstance and will not be shaken, world without end. All else will pass away, but this love, this communion, this knowing this God will never end. As I live my life in his kingdom and waits for him to come again. So if we're praying this prayer, meditating on it regularly, I believe that we will find ourselves growing in our delight in the Trinity, in our joyful obedience to him, in our devotion to the triune God. We'll be able to grow in just our awareness of his presence with us, and the joy of his good company throughout the day. So I want to encourage you to put your phones down, to take advantage of those in-between moments of the day and to pray a prayer like this. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. If you need to write it down or find it again, it's in your prayer book. I can help you find it. Many years ago, I trained myself with the help of some others to try to let this prayer be my very first thought in the morning, to let it be my very first thought when I wake up, and the last prayer of the night before I go to sleep. And I'm trying to grow in those in-between moments throughout the day to give them the simple prayers like this, to be in communion with God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We are called as Christians to know the Trinity and to delight in the Holy Trinity, because this is the foundation of our faith, that we can know God because he's given himself to be known. And as Athanasius reminds us, this is the point of our faith. The doctrine of God is really important, but what's most important is that we're invited to truly know God as we are truly known by him. Because we do not worship a God who is impersonal, a vague force, or a cosmic and distant deity. We worship a God who is personal, who's triply personal, who is love, and who is engaged with us in our world because that's who he is, a holy Trinity. And so that's the prayer I want to encourage us to go into this week with, and maybe to train yourself throughout the days to continue praying. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.